As was mentioned on Sunday, in Sunday school, I've been reading through the Psalms. And most of the time, one a day. But I have enjoyed the slow, maybe meandering through the Psalms. And finding those little things that are that are there. And so we're going to turn to Psalms 147. Psalms 147. Psalms 147, 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely.
Amen.
The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. If you're anything like me, I can definitely be thick-headed and very slow. You didn't have to agree. But as I've been reading through Psalms, something that continually stands out is how we are to praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
More than any other book, the Psalms talk about praise.
Sure.
The idea that we are to praise God has not been simply sprinkled throughout its pages. It has been dumped. It may not be exactly as in our passage here tonight that says there in verse 1, praise ye the Lord, but in other ways, it talks about praising him through our words, through songs, through music. Maybe not necessarily words, but through our music. It even talks about praising him with our actions. And so the Psalms just even by name drip with praise. It really should be a large part of our our daily lives, of which through it we bring worship to Him.
Amen.
Brother Tim mentioned Sunday how Paul and Silas were praising God even in their affliction. Paul and Silas, through their obedience, praised God and giving Him thanks while in prison. And through the outflow of their praise, brought the jailer and his house to salvation.
Yes, sir.
Now, they couldn't have hid their affliction. Everybody else around them was probably in the same state they were. So they really didn't honestly have anything to hide. But how about us? Do we hide our afflictions? Many times we don't want others to know what is going on in our lives, the difficulties that we're having. Maybe I'm judging incorrectly, but many times because we don't want others to think, oh, he's a Christian and he has problems with that? Yeah. But is that really a right response? Or is that pride? James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he be, and if he have committed sins, they shall forgive him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Why? For healing? That ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous availeth much. When we hide our afflictions, how do we expect God to get any glory out of that? When he brings deliverance. What if he's waiting to deliver until he knows he's going to get some praise, honor, glory? Yes, I understand that this passage is not specifically talking about sharing our burdens and our problems with one another. It's more talking about being healed from our sins. However, I really don't think God's going to look down and say, well, I think you've applied that wrong. You've just made a mess of things. No, I think it works here too. He wants praise. He wants glory.
Yes, amen.
In everything. Even the hard times. Does he not know that we are in hard times? He obviously did with Elijah. And he was there to help. But sometimes he uses others in order to be that pick-me-up. But I'm afraid to let anybody know. No, I'm not suggesting that we share all of our problems with everyone in the world, but do you have somebody to share with? Do you have somebody to pray with you and for you? Yes, I say with as well as for, because are you praying as well? Back in verse 1 of the chapter we started with in Psalms here, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant. There was a second word there. I don't know if I'd... Oh, good. It is both good and pleasant. Is it to you? Is it good and pleasant to you to praise the Lord? It goes on to tell us that it's comely. It's right. It's proper. We should. But is it good and pleasant to you? Or is it something you either don't do or begrudgingly do? You know, why are you praising God, and are you praising God for the things that he does for you? Getting you to the gas station. Sometimes it's the little things. But it's those little things that build a life of stories.
Yes, sir.
That display God's work. I also want to take a look down there at verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their name. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God. He covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. You hear the love of God for his people? He gathereth the outcasts. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up the wounds. He lifts up the meek. He prepares rain, provides grass. He even tells us he's named every thing in the universe, every star. And I don't even know all the people at work. Matthew 6:26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe thee, you, O ye of little faith? The care of his and what is he looking for? Praise?
Sure.
He cares for us. He just wants to be acknowledged. In that verse 2 of Psalms 147, it talks about gathering together the outcasts of Israel. And so I jump to Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curses which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all nations, whither the Lord God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that is commanded thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Yes, God has compassion, and he loves his people. And I know it may seem a little disconnected bringing in Deuteronomy, but let's pull it together quickly. We've been talking about how we are to praise the Lord, and that we do this in several different ways, through our words, our song, our playing of instruments, and our actions. We also see that God's desire is that men be at liberty from the circumstances in life that have brought them into bondage. And he is looking simply to receive praise when they're delivered. So one last way we can offer up this praise to God is by seeking to do what he does. Seeking to help others find freedom from their mess of life. Helping them to find truth that will genuinely free. For many of us who have, quote-unquote, spent much time in the church, we don't see a lot of people, quote-unquote, freed from past life. But I, too, will say, it has been a joy watching you over this last year, Ian. When When one finds truth, then one can do what verse 2 talks about in turning or maybe returning to God with one's heart and soul. When this becomes a reality in our own lives, we are not afraid to share with others. Then others see the change, and some others sometimes become curious. Curious enough to start asking questions and allowing the change to happen in them. So, how is your praise? How is your praise? And does it flow out? Is it kept to yourself? Or do others see it? Because your praise should be making an impact on others. And that's simply what he's looking for. How do you want to make an impact this next year? One life, two life. That's somewhat up to God. But what effort do you want to put into that? And how do we see God's, or does God see our praise? Do others see our praise to God that it might make an impact in their lives? I guess I don't have a real nice ending, so that's what I have for tonight.